Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Good morning, 6:09 in the morning, 720 WGN. This is the Steve Cochran Show. We are broadcasting live from the Hyatt Regency at the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce's 112th annual meeting at the Hyatt. This is great to be out and about.
We've been here for the last 111.
Well, we've been here for the last, I would say, maybe?
4 or 5,
used to be at Navy Pier, then they moved it around. So we got a great array of guests today. Steve will be here very shortly, all affiliated with the Chamber of Commerce. But we have to say some thank yous, Dave. Yesterday, we were guests of Dr. Kevin Most at the Northwestern Golf Outing, the Northwestern Medical Golf Outing, and raised some money. I hear you and Steve coerced a lot of people to make nice donations.
Steve did. I don't coerce anybody. But it was a great event, great day at Medina Country Club, and raised a lot of money to help with the pediatric medicine programs, and just a great cause and a big event, 300-some golfers out there.
It was fun to watch all the doctors get out of their comfort zone at the very end of the night and really get into the putting contest at the end.
Yes.
Betting with each other. Giving each other a hard time. It was a nice event, though. We had a good and a beautiful day.
Great day. Some of the golfers who were in for the event this week, which is on the web.com tour, they're playing a pro event up at Ivanhoe Country Club this week. So some of the golfers were out there with us. So it was nice to see them, and we wish them luck this week. But great day, great cause, and here we go.
Here we go. It's funny when you hit a good drive and you think, oh, that's pretty good, 200, 250.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking myself, of course. Yeah, but then you see these pros hit 400, insane, straight down the fairway.
Yeah, it's a little humbling when you see these guys and how good they are.
A little embarrassing, actually.
Oh, hey, is what it is, right?
Well, how'd you guys do?
Yeah, there you go, man.
Oh, our group did okay.
I thought we did well. You played very well, Dave, and Cochran played
too.
Well.
Yeah, okay.
Who was the best?
Picked up a slice yesterday.
The best. Who was the best?
I would say Cochran, not just because
he's the boss.
Not just because it's his show.
Let's look at perspective here, Mary.
Oh, here we go.
So let's measure the amount of golf played by the respective participants.
All right,
here.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
And I think you can proportionally, he is better. He's a very good golfer, I think.
I think Steve actually plays so much. He might be on the senior tour and we just don't know it.
He could be.
He is.
Right, and
he
you say that with
days.
Love because senior's 50 plus. On the senior tour, right?
Yes.
I think
well, because he's a grandpa. Doesn't that make you a senior tour?
Hey.
Uh-oh, be nice.
We're talking about Abigail
grandpa
Grace.
Grandpa has arrived.
By the way, this is very funny.
There you go, Abigail.
Very funny because Steve was in like a picture war with one of the doctors was showing pictures of her granddaughter. So they were kind of in a granddaughter photo off. Abigail won, clearly she won.
As far as what was concerned?
As far as everything.
The whole package.
Baby, sweetest baby, most loving baby.
Well, she's better than the other grandkids. The other grandkids need to quit.
Okay.
By the way, where are we?
We're at the Hyatt Regency, the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. There are 200.
But, I mean, if you wanted to find us, where are we?
Can't find us. We're in a secret location.
We're on the gold level.
So, here
two,
in Chicago,
two levels down.
If you're visiting the city and you come to any location in Chicago, you know, it's like New York and other places. You have to build down because there's only so much room on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come into the east side, you go down two levels, and you're kind of at a valet parking situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of fish hook it. Are you people writing this down?
These are great directions.
Fish hook it and keep walking, and then you run into us in the lobby.
There you go.
And by the way, we're running a special. No, we're not checking people in. Broadcasting live from the Hyatt Regency at the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, 112th annual meeting. Do we have anybody from the original meeting here, from the first one?
Dave,
were you
okay? Yeah, that's...
No, I didn't say you attended. You just you covered it.
Lyle Dean was there.
Yeah. He was celebrating his 20th anniversary. Got some guests coming up from the city, some special drive-bys and drop-bys later on. Matt Eisenman from American Ninja Warrior and Orion Samuelson, who won the first season of American Ninja Warrior.
He did.
We'll be on as well.
By the way, that is one of the best shows on television.
I think that may be a stretch, Dave. I don't know if your other channels are out. So
no, it's a guilty pleasure, but it is fun to watch.
But I like Matt. Matt's the guy that always goes, American Ninja Warrior. Yeah. He's that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And does he do other broadcasting, sportscasting?
I don't know. That's the only thing I've heard him do.
Okay.
How does he sound again?
American Ninja Warrior.
Okay, Steve, so you watch it too.
Never seen it.
Uh-huh.
Never seen the show. Nick's coming up to talk about movies here in a second as well. In case you did we talk Trump yet?
We didn't talk Trump. We waited for you to talk
Donald
Hillary
J. Trump and Hillary have big days ahead. The secretary, Madam Secretary, is the Democratic nominee, but protocol being what it is, she can't really accept it yet because she wants her to be a decent turnout. She doesn't want a Bigfoot Bernie supporters because she wants Bernie supporters to get behind her. And the people of California on the Democratic Party side were hoping they would have the big coronation.
Mm-hmm.
They won't because the New Jersey polls close first tonight. So the way the math will work out, New Jersey will actually declare Hillary Clinton the winner sometime around 7 o'clock our time tonight.
How about that?
But she is the nominee, and we'll see what Bernie Sanders says about it today or tomorrow. And President Obama is scheduled to endorse her. You don't need to schedule an endorsement, but they're leaking it from the White House that he'll endorse her sometime today or tomorrow as well. On the Donald J. Trump side, he had a conference call yesterday, which was leaked. Does someone have gas? What is that noise?
I think it's duct tape. They're duct taping something over there.
Oh, okay.
Gaff tape. Sorry, Adam.
But Donald J. Trump had a meeting with his surrogates. These are the people you respect the least because they're the ones that actually try to convince you they believe what they're saying.
Yeah.
And the surrogates yesterday were told, double down, keep speaking on this judge of American-Mexican heritage. Mm-hmm. Keep calling him Mexican. Keep claiming he's biased.
The one who's born in Indiana.
Yeah, the Indiana judge.
Yeah.
He's as American as anybody.
Right.
And yesterday, one of the most ridiculous statements I heard was that from Trump's side was that the judge keeps making an issue out of this.
Come on.
The judge hasn't said a word.
No, he has not.
He has not said a word. And the biggest ruling Trump could have gotten out of this, he got, which was to table this entire trial to give him a continuance until after the election. Mm-hmm. Trump should be saying thank you.
Yeah. Completely.
And nobody else has said this. What about if he got another judge? What if this judge did actually step aside, which hopefully he won't. But if he got another judge, and the other judge doesn't rule exactly as Trump wants, what, the Polish judge? We got to get rid of the Polish judge? Got to get rid of the Irish judge?
No. God forbid there's a Muslim judge.
President Trump. Careful. We've got to take a break. We'll come back. We are live at the Chamber of Commerce, 112th Chamber of Commerce meeting at the Hyatt Regency in Chicago. Steve Cochran, 720 WGN. Live at the Hyatt Regency East in downtown Chicago, just off Wacker. Are we on a gold level? Okay, we're on a gold level. Make a note of it. We'd accept nothing short of that. And Nick DiGilio joins us now. Hey, buddy, how are you?
All right, how are you, man?
Oh, great. Bad box office?
You know, I got to say, this has been one of the most disappointing box office returns of the worst summers in a long, long time. And, you know, I think the movie going public is making their statement by not going to see the product. They're not enjoying the movies that have come out this summer so far. With the exception of Captain America Civil War, almost every movie, well, at least the major ones, have either kind of underperformed or bombs.
And has the scorecard changed, though? I mean, do you have to have a $100 million weekend to be significant anymore?
It has gotten to the point, you know. I mean, Steve, you know, you've been in the business a really long time, and it's if you don't do well now on the opening weekend, and, you know, if a film is budgeted, I mean, a lot of movies are budgeted now like $175, $200 million. If you don't make $100, $150 million, it's considered a bomb. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that opened up on Friday was number one at the box office, only made $35 million. That's $35 million less than the first one made 2 years ago.
So is this about Netflix? Is this about streaming and people staying home to watch movies, or is it the product you mentioned at the top?
You know, I think it's a combination of the two, Steve, because, you know, it's so easy now to just, you know, watch a movie at home. You got these video-on-demand films that you can watch. I mean, a lot of movies that open in theaters are available on iTunes or Amazon or video-on-demand, and it's changing the business completely. And the other thing is the product. A lot of people are just getting sick and tired of the same old stuff. Like this weekend coming up, the two big releases, oh, three big releases, one is based on a video game and the other two are sequels. So, you know, the originality is kind of gone, you know, every week. I mean, if you look at the top movies right now, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number one at the box office. The second movie, number two, is X-Men Apocalypse, another sequel. And then number four, Alice Through the Looking Glass, a sequel. Number five, Angry Birds, based on a video game. Number six, Civil War, Captain America, a sequel. Number seven, Neighbors 2, a sequel.
I'm waiting for one movie that anybody over the age of 40 would love.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, stuff like Nice Guys, which for some reason is tanking, because I personally think that they released it at the wrong time of year. Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, to me, one of the most entertaining films I've seen all summer.
Yeah, and it's not doing anything.
No, and it should have been released in the fall. It's the kind of movie that should have been released in the fall. And the other thing, that, remember on Thursday when I was telling you that they were going to do some counter-programming with this movie called Me Before You?
Yeah.
$18.2 million, one of the biggest success stories of last week, and it's this little film, which actually, by the way, turned out to be really good. I was very surprised.
How big was the crowd when you went to see it?
When I went to see Me Before You?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was like half full, three quarters full.
Well, here's the reason I bring it up, because, you know, we collectively, we always go, oh, they don't make movies for grown-ups anymore. Well, here's the thing. I go to a grown-up movie, and it's half full. And the studios are businesses. So if they continue to see the way they fill up theaters, is, as Rob Reiner put it when he was on the show a month or two ago, every movie has to have the word man in the title. Iron Man, Captain American Man, you know, whatever the case may be. So their job is to put butts in the seats. And if 40-plus-year-olds aren't showing up for the movies that are allegedly made for them, why will they keep making them?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a real good point. And, you know, I do want to mention Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping, which is the Andy Samberg comedy. That absolutely, completely tanked, and that was a movie clearly aimed at young people. It only made $4.6 million. It made less than his movie Hot Rod when that hit the theaters. And I saw it over the weekend, Popstar, and I thought it was very funny. And I got to tell you, Steve, real interesting experience watching that movie with my parents, who are in their 70s.
Did they laugh?
Yeah, they did laugh. My dad, in fact, this is a true story, my dad almost choked to death on a milk dud when Seal got attacked by wild wolves.
See, that's a sweet way to go out. If your dad actually goes out in that manner, what a great story to tell.
Yeah, we were like slapping him on the back, and then like he finally, oh, God, that's funny. It was...
If the EMT has to be called for that, what's the story you tell? Do you tell the truth? Dad's joking on a milk dud because Seal got attacked by wolverines.
Yeah, well, I think that would be, I actually think that's a great story that EMTs would have never heard before.
True. That's true, because every job gets routine.
The other quick story about seeing that movie with my folks is, I mean, they don't know half of the references in the film. I mean, the movie takes place, you know, now, and it's all about, like, references to Justin Bieber and rappers and things like that. My parents don't keep up with that nonsense. But to my mom afterwards, so my dad almost chokes to death when Seal gets attacked by a wolf. All right, that's first. Afterwards, we're walking back to the car, and my mom says, I really like the part with the guy from the Skittles, singing Skittles commercial.
Wait, so, was Steven Tyler in it?
Yes, exactly. So she did not say Steven Tyler. She did not say lead singer of Aerosmith.
That's great.
She didn't even say judge on American Idol. She went straight to the singing Skittles commercial.
That's great.
I just busted out laughing. So
Andrea's adding it.
Nick, you know, do you think people are going to the movies less because of Netflix and these Showtime apps? You know, you got everything at your disposal. You can watch it on your iPad.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also, you don't have to wait very long either. Like, you remember back in the day when a movie came out in the theaters, you'd have to wait a year before it came out on video, or at least 8 months. That was the turnaround. Now the turnaround is 3 months at the most. Yeah. So people who don't go see, say they don't go see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, you know, I mean, they can see it in, I don't know, September at home. So that's a big thing. And I also really think that the quality of the films is hurting because there's no originality, and half of the stuff that came out this summer has been massively disappointing.
Tonight, you have a movie that's nothing close to massively disappointing. It's a big night. This is the Raiders night, isn't it?
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Now, is there no tickets left for this? It's completely sold out?
There are a few, just a few. And if you want to see it, you got to get on it right now because this thing is going to be sold out. And this is a huge theater. This is the biggest crowd we've ever had. And it's Raiders of the Lost Ark on the big screen, digitally remastered, only $10. Parking is free. We're going to have a discussion afterwards and talk about it. I'll introduce it. You can go have dinner at Bogart's on the second floor. You can have drinks. I'll introduce the movie at 8, and we'll start it. It's the 35th anniversary edition of it. And, in fact, Sunday marks the official 35th anniversary of the release of Raiders, so we're going to celebrate that tonight. And we've got a massive house tonight, a huge house. But there are some tickets available if you want to go to moviecode.com, just a few. But don't procrastinate if you're going to come tonight.
Get on it now, people.
Yeah, I'd hate you to come out to Rosemont and get up there and not have a ticket available for you. But that's good. I'm very excited about it, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
All right. If people come and they can't get in, can we give them a Steve Cochran Show safe word they can use?
Yeah, nice guys.
Nice guys. If you say nice guys, Nick will get you in. You can sit with him.
No, I'll take you to a screening of nice guys. I'll bring it to
you. Oh, okay. Yeah, that works. That's actually a pretty good idea. all right, buddy. Thank you. And Teresa Mintel is the Chamber of Commerce president. She will join us in a couple of minutes. It's 112th annual meeting here at the Hyatt Regency. Did you see how much breakfast costs, by the way?
No.
It's like $200 for eggs.
Well, you don't like eggs anyway, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Just have a roll.
Well, that's the president about it.
Have a muffin.
That seems pricey for eggs. We'll come back and get your big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Today, live from the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce annual meeting at the Hyatt 112th annual meeting. And we welcome the lovely and talented Teresa Mintel, Chamber President. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again. What is the state of business in Chicago?
State of business in Chicago is actually quite strong. We just finished our third annual member survey, and we found that over 75% of our members plan to add new employees in the next year.
Well, that's good based on that jobs report on Friday, so why don't we get some good news out of this, right?
Exactly.
So what do you attribute that to, considering the nonsense going on in politics?
I think Chicago is just an incredibly dynamic place to work, and I think people want to be here. We're the center of North America. We've got great talent. We've got great transportation. We've got O'Hare, and this is really the best place if you want to do business in Canada, Mexico, or the United States.
Yeah, it's a hub for everything, right?
It is.
We know, just by way of fact, that we've got an incredible startup situation here with 1871. But what about the retail side? The retail folks are struggling. Is that a sector we need to help out?
You know, I think there's a lot of sectors that could use some help. There's a lot of focus on technology right now. We'll hear a little bit more about that later this morning with Margo Georgiadis from Google speaking. But I think she's our keynote today. I think the key here is that technology can help every sector, whether it's retail, whether it's a neighborhood entrepreneur, or even manufacturing. It's making that connection that's important. We certainly think retail is important. We are located in the Wrigley Building right on Michigan Avenue, and retail is very important to our neighborhood.
You never come over. You're right across the street. You never come over and see us.
I blow kisses out the window every day.
Well, as do I. But it seems like there's a wall between us. It always comes back to Trump with me. You know that?
I'm catching on to that.
Yes. But the good news is, this is not some, because I know you, this is not some hype from the chamber. We have optimistic outlooks for business in Chicago, and I want people to hear that.
We do. From our all-member survey, which covers the largest corporations down to entrepreneurs, but from our small business survey that we released earlier this winter, they also are optimistic, despite some of the challenges that are going on in Illinois. And again, I think it's because Chicago has the best talent pool, the best transportation, and the best location in North America.
Teresa, you bring up small businesses. Is it harder now for smaller businesses to start up and family-owned businesses, is it harder for them to stay in business?
We're hearing that there is a lot of challenge out there. Certainly the regulatory environment creates some difficulties, but we have a small business development center. We have over 300 clients. It's a free service, by the way. And we are helping people break through some of the barriers or obstacles. And they're very robust, creating jobs, bringing economic activity to local neighborhoods. It's very important to us, and I think it's a great value added that we can do from the Chamber's perspective.
The resources that the Chamber provides, you and I talked about this last year, I think, and partly it's because people are so busy running their own businesses, but they're there. You know, we need people, these businesses, to tap into them, right?
There's a lot of really great resources. What we've done with our Small Business Development Center, though, is take it out of downtown. We're in 14 neighborhoods around Chicago. And yes, and that's why I think we've reached over 300 clients. I've got an amazing consultant who works for us. She is an MBA and a JD and her own. She's an entrepreneur herself. And so she really understands what these businesses are facing. That, in conjunction with our public policy work at the local level, we're really able to make a big difference for these guys. But it really means going out to them because they are quite busy. They're trying to run a business or create one.
Everybody says the first year is the toughest. Once you get past the first year, what's the stretch then? You got to make a number. You got to.
You know, it really depends. Every business is very different. We help them draft business plans. We help them with their technology. We help them with some legal services. We have a great pro bono legal services group that works with us, and it really is very situational. And I think that's why our team is so good at this, because they can respond to whatever might be necessary. And by the way, we have some small businesses that have actually been a small business for more than 5 years, and they're trying to deal with technology. They're trying to deal with the digital and social media, very different than what they might have done a few years ago. And we have partners that help us with all of that, and it really does depend on what the business is, what their industry is, and what they're trying to do.
How are you doing on funding? Are the banks loaning?
The banks are loaning. We are finding, though, it's very interesting. Access to capital isn't as big a deal as you might have thought.
Really?
A lot of entrepreneurs don't want to have investors or a lot of debt as they get started. It's a lot of friends and family that goes on out there. And very, despite the optimism and the willingness to grow, the desire to grow, they're really taking it very methodical. When they get that next contract, then they'll add a person. And so, but for those that want to access capital, we either help them through the big banks or through some of the other alternative lending sources. But again, that doesn't show up on any of our surveys as being a big obstacle for small business.
Well, that's good. This is nothing but good news.
Very
true. Teresa's already made me feel better.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Therese, how much does social media, how much has it changed the way businesses run? Helped? Hurt?
Well, for those who adopt it and use it well, it helps tremendously. For those who aren't quite sure what is Instagram, what is Twitter, do I have to have a Facebook, what? They struggle, but again, we've been working to help there. Microsoft has been a phenomenal partner with us on that, and they've got some data that proves that embracing technology and social media really helps grow a business. We ourselves have learned that embracing social media has had huge impacts on people who can find us, how we communicate with people, and how we can give our members an edge.
And with Microsoft and Google establishing home fronts here, is Google going to reveal some big news this morning?
We'll have to wait and see.
You know, don't you? You won't tell me. You know, don't you? You got a secret, don't you?
I don't have a secret, Steve.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Promise?
I promise.
All right, then. But if there is Google breaking news, we'll be here for you.
Exactly.
Right?
That's why
right
we have you guys right here,
right?
Ready for just that.
Run right out for that. Nice to see you. Enjoy the breakfast this morning.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys being here.
Well, we're here to hype the city of Chicago because we believe.
And so do we.
Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, 112th annual meeting continues. Mary's here with you, traffic. And then I want to go around the room here with everybody. And John DeCosta's here as well. If you weren't in show business, the swinging, swirling world of show business that has brought us to the gold level of the Hyatt Regency basement. If you weren't in show business and you were going to start a business, what would it be? All right, you guys think about that. Everybody's got to chime in.
We're back.
Hi, kids. Just schmoozing, hanging out, schmoozing here at the meeting. All right, so here's the question. Everybody. Well, John DeCoste, how are you? When did you get here?
I'm staying here.
Oh, you're staying here. Nice. All right, here's a question for everybody. Because, you know, I'm not sure how long your show business careers are going to last anyway. So if you weren't in show business and you were going to start a business, what would your business be? It's the Chamber of Commerce meeting. What would your business be?
We're all such entrepreneurs.
Mary, you ever thought about it?
Oh, sure. Go to me first.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A dance studio.
No, I couldn't. I don't think I could make that. Well, let me think. Like crafts, arts, and a craft or fabric store, because I think there are too many big ones right now.
Yes, there you go.
And there's no small ones. And you know, I'd like to.
So it'd be like
I love fabric.
Like
I love
Joann's,
it.
A Sofro, but a
yes.
Vandy's. Vandy's
yes.
Fabrics.
Vandy's. Yeah, nice.
Vanderfelt.
Vanderfelt.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't like felt very much. But yeah, that would work.
Well, hey, it's just an idea.
You could partner
it's
up
kinda
with
itchy stuff.
You could partner up with Dave's wife because she has a loom.
That's right. That's
yes.
All remember Dave's
she
clothes.
She does. I'll put her in the back and she can make rugs.
All Dave's clothes are made at home. What about you, Andrea Darles?
Well, I would want to do something, I think, with women's clothing and golf.
So like a sportwear line.
Yeah, because,
I said
this to Enid yesterday. They don't have a lot of cool women's golf shoes and, you know, that fits you well and looks good.
Yeah, women's golf shoes are kind of
women just
nasty
get, like,
looking.
The black and the white. You know, or they don't.
So cool women's golf shoes.
Not yeah. with look like saddle shoes.
Like a Kate Hudson vibe,
no,
but
I don't
for
mind
women's
if they look
golf
like saddle
shoes.
All right.
You like saddle shoes?
Samberg? Okay. You got to start a business.
Marketing firm.
A marketing. That's an ass in show business.
No, that's not. Show business. I wouldn't be dealing with show business people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why I'd be staying
today?
Away from you.
After today? A marketing firm just plugging what? Anything?
No, we would, but female-owned businesses in particular.
Oh, I have a client for you. This woman's starting a business with golf shoes,
yep.
And that
yeah.
woman there is doing something called Vandefelt.
And I have some advice for the clothing. Just because we're girls doesn't mean it all has to be hot pink, because I feel like in the golf world, they have everything black and white, and then they throw in everything hot pink.
Even the golf
balls.
I like
the bold colors, though. I'd rather have like a
but there
mix
are other
colors
to use. So.
Yeah, I'm just tired of, like, Bennett and I were in the pro shop at Medina yesterday, and the guys had the coolest shoes. They were like blue and orange and pink and cool, and the women had like a white and a black.
Yeah, that's
so something sexier.
That's what I would do.
Something
yeah.
fun,
something
Dave.
Cooler.
What would you do?
I think I would try something along the lines of a juice bar.
Ah, that'd be cool.
Is kale going to be involved?
Of course. It's a juice bar.
Would there be anything you could drink, or would it all be that lawn that you
No, there'd be good stuff, but I would make it like a sports juice bar.
No,
so there'd be...
That's show business.
So what is that mean, a sports juice bar?
What do you mean that's show business?
Sports is show business. You can't have
sport clips where you could drink juices and watch sports.
Exactly.
Why not? No, it's entertainment. No. We're talking about going through the struggles that every business has without any sort of bells and whistles.
Juice bar.
A juice bar.
Mm-hmm.
No TVs for you, Dave. No TVs in there.
No TVs?
No TVs.
In the back?
No, not even in the back. I'm not even sure I'm going to allow you to have plumbing.
That would be a bad idea.
That's
to
juice bar.
Steve, what would your business be?
My
you
business
couldn't be in entertainment or showbiz.
Interesting that you would ask that.
Yes.
My business. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a geologist.
I think so.
Rocks. So you're going to have a rock store.
So you wanted to be a rock surgeon.
A rock star.
That would make you a rock star.
But I wanted to be an astronaut, and then I wanted to be a geologist because I had a rock polisher.
Okay.
Oh, like the guy in the Shawshank.
Oh, we all had those. Those were cool.
The guy in the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was a different scene.
And you weren't in prison.
Yeah.
Are you going to have rock candy there?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
It would be good.
No, I don't think so. No, you know what I think I'd do? I would open a center to teach kids how to write. You know, these learning centers.
Nice. Like cursive?
Yes, handwriting. Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Samberg would be my first client.
Samberg and doctors.
Math, you know, they have the math things and the science things, the after-school stuff.
Tutoring,
specific tutoring. I would tutor in writing.
That's a cool idea. I like that.
Yeah. That is a cool idea.
You won't be able to count on any funding from the city.
Why?
Because we don't have any money.
Oh, well, there's that.
Especially to be creative.
So it'd be a math problem. Yes. What about you, John?
Something I've been messing with about the last 10 years, sort of part-time as a hobby. I would make it full-time. I'd be a personal trainer.
Well, you know what? There's no question about that.
I would hire you.
Yeah.
I'd say that.
I would hire John.
And it's not really how to work out. It's like, eat these.
It's motivation.
These are high in sugar.
Yeah.
Right.
These come in a package of 12.
So would you be the before
12.
Picture to
have
inspire,
a donut?
Like you would inspire your clients because you
oh, yeah.
the before picture?
I show up on day one and then...
You go, don't do what I do.
Don't do this.
Okay, I got it.
And then
it.
Let's move it. On from here.
I got it.
I'm going to hire you.
I'm just Davis staring at me.
I'm going to hire him. That's my kind of trainer.
Deep, deep insight.
Well, no, he could work in my juice bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
He
yes.
could be a trainer.
Dave
yeah, and I would call his juice bar Go to Kale.
Go to kale. That's not bad.
Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
It's right next to Mary Vanderfelt.
Get a strip mall.
Yeah.
Vanderfelt Fabrics.
Yeah, and your marketing firm could actually promote the strip mall.
I don't think she wants to take any of us on as clients.
Yeah, I'm trying to distance myself from this crew.
See?
Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can help. Yeah. coming up on 7 o'clock, we'll get to the news shortly here. This is 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Broadcasting live from the Hyatt Regency at the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, 112th annual meeting. Crowd filling in now. They're about to go eat and listen to a muckety-muck from Google. Samberg, would you tell me? President? President? El Presidente? Just leave your mic on. I don't care if you curse.
She's the president.
President of Google.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to speak, and we believe that she has some top secret information she's giving out because she wanted to avoid announcing it on the show.
Well, Andrea
said
that.
That's the theory I'm going with.
Well, that was my theory, yeah.
I'm going with it.
Yeah. And Andrea's Greek, and I think she's Greek, so Andrea probably knows.
I got the intel.
Don't you guys have cousins that would know?
We're probably related.
I would guess.
At some point.
No doubt about it. Joining us now, Commissioner of the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection in Chicago, Maria Guerra Lapacek?
Yes.
Come on, is that right?
That's correct.
Oh, well, then we don't even need to talk. I got your name right. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Nice. Thanks for being here. I'm doing fine. You have a very long title. What does it mean?
It means I'm the department head for the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection.
Okay, so when would I use you?
So businesses who need licensing, they come to our Small Business Center, which is in the 8th floor of City Hall. You would come to our department if you need consumer protection. If you have complaints to file against businesses, you would file that with my department as well.
Okay. And the job entails a lot of fun stuff, too. You're not just the cop.
Correct.
All right. So we are food truck crazy in Chicago.
Yes.
We love food trucks.
Yes, we do.
And there's a giant food truck fest.
Yes.
That I want people to know about. When's it happening? Where's it happening?
So we do two. We do one at Daly Plaza weekly, and then one we do at Sears Tower, so right on Jackson.
So for tourists who come into town, and obviously that's a big part of the business here, if you go by Daly Plaza for the food truck fest, it can be a little intimidating. It almost looks like there's some sort of, you know, work action going on, but this is just feeding people.
Yes. And it's we have 11 food trucks, and then we have the newest entrants, which are the mobile boutique operators, which are exactly that. They sell goods out of a truck.
All right. Do we have a list of all the food trucks that show up for these?
Yes. If you go to shyfoodtruckfest.com, you will see all the food trucks for that particular fest. Like I said, we do it weekly at Daly Plaza and
all right.
monthly.
Samberg, look that up for me, and then I want you to be our food truck announcer. I want you to tell me who is going to be at Food Truck Fest, because there's some cool trucks for places that, and one of the things is some of these are places that are food truck specific, but some of them represent restaurants, most of them, and they're restaurants that maybe you wouldn't go to. And now you got a chance to sample what they're doing right off the truck.
Right. It works both ways. Some of these trucks are kind of a first entrance for some of these entrepreneur chefs that want to start a business but don't have the capital to open a full restaurant. So they start with a food truck. And then you have the reverse happening where you have a restaurant who wants to take their food into, you know, places where, you know, outside of where their location is.
Yeah.
So they do food trucks to get their food out into neighborhoods.
And what was the website again?
Shy Food Truck Fest.
Shy Food Truck Fest.
One of your favorites, by the way, is a food truck.
What's that?
The Lobster.
Oh, the Lobster.
Yeah,
oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
The Lobster. The lobster rolls.
Yes.
Those are ridiculous, man. You could eat those three times a day all summer long.
And your cholesterol would be very high.
Yeah, well, that's why you take extra meds. I don't know if you noticed the Lipitor patch that I have on my shoulder.
That's for that.
Andrea, say hi.
Maria, has the city's bond rating or the state's woes negatively affected small businesses or businesses in general in the city? I mean, we still have a strong, you know, a lot of business is still in Chicago, but has that affected it negatively?
I don't think so. I haven't seen any evidence of that. I think that businesses are affected by the economy, by, you know, consumers having money in their pocket, disposable income. We have seen a lot of evidence of the economy turning. There are more business licenses being sought. We're busier than we've ever been at our small business center. So it looks like business is picking up, and people who have put, you know, their dreams of owning a small business on hold now are, you know, coming forward and getting things prepared to get those stores open.
But with the politics that we deal with in the state and also nationally, and in the unsure nature of the presidential election, do you hear those kind of complaints, or do they take them other places? Or if you're running a small business, you're too busy and you got to react when you react.
They generally take them other places. I mean, when they come see us, they're more worried about, am I going to pass my building inspection or my, you know, zoning inspection. So typically our business consultants don't hear. You know, we do have workshops twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays, at our small business center, where we offer assistance on several different, so for example, how do I navigate Obamacare as a small business? We have workshops that help people with those kinds of topics. So, you know, we try to be proactive in what businesses are seeking in terms of assistance. We do workshops on, you know, marketing, using social media. We work with our partners, the Chamber, the Chicagoland Chamber is one of our partners. We try to be relevant to these small businesses. So, you know, while they don't bring necessarily their complaints, we respond with, you know, what we feel based on what they're telling us is ailing them, and we try to help.
We'll come back after traffic in a second. You got a couple of apps you want every resident of Chicago to download and have on their phone or their mobile device. And you guys are giving away a medallion to a cabbie as well.
That's correct.
So there you go. Stick around more with Maria in just a second. Also, we got a bunch of politics to catch up on. It's a big day for California, New Jersey. And how many primaries? Nine?
There's five primaries.
Five. Like I said, five. Five primaries left on the calendar. And tonight, about 7 o'clock Chicago time, Hillary Clinton will be declared the official prospective nominee. How about that for official?
Six states, sorry.
Six tonight?
Six, Montana, New Jersey,
oh,
New
we'll
Mexico,
get to nine.
North Dakota, South Dakota, and, of course, California.
Right. Six. And even though she hit the number last night mathematically, according to superdelegates of headcounts and the Associated Press making phone calls, in fact, it won't be official until the fat lady sings, and that should be a fat lady in New Jersey about 7 o'clock Chicago time. Jake's back in the tower. Who else is back there? Ben? Pushing a button tonight? I think it's Ben. Thank you. And also Bennett Cumberbatch, the Academy Award-winning actor who does production assistance on the program. He's there as well.
And works for us for free.
Yeah.
What a great guy.
All there. Here is the Commissioner of the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection, Maria. Maria, just say your name for me, Maria.
Maria Guerra Lepasic.
Lepasic. You were so nice before you gave me a pass. Maria Guerra Lepasic. All right, so Maria, let's talk about this cabbie situation. Well, I gave this away to some extent, but one of the apps is related to cabs, isn't it?
Yes, we have a contest going on to find Chicago's top cabbie. So it's an award for either heroism or for superb, excellent customer service. One of our app partners, Curb, is you're able actually to nominate the cab driver while you're still in the cab or while you're getting off the cab. It's as easy as that.
All right. So what's the app called?
Curb.
C-U-R-B?
Yes. And our other app is Aero. And those are our two apps in our Shy Apps program, or Shy Cabs program, I'm sorry.
And Aero is what?
It's another app company where you can download the app and be able to hail electronically a licensed cab.
The deal here is, and we talked about this, you know, way back when Uber was getting started, is that, you know, you feel like to have a fair level of competition, my words, not yours, between Uber and the cabbies, it's difficult when Uber has a different set of regulations and the cabbies are paying a pretty large chunk for a medallion and things. So you're actually giving away a medallion.
Correct. In the Chicago's Top Cabbie program, in the contest, we're giving away a medallion, yes.
It's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah. Andre.
And it's a big month. The Small Business Expo is coming up later this month. You have a great keynote speaker, too, this year.
Who is it?
Yes, Michelle Williams, formerly of Destiny's Child. She is now a small business. Yes.
She's running a business?
She is running her own small business here in Chicago, in fact.
What is the business?
It's called Believe at Home. She does bedding and home products, and she employs her family and friends, and it's a way for her to transition into, you know, being an entrepreneur.
And is that an online business, or does she have a storefront as well?
Right now, she sells online.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure at some point she'll consider a storefront.
Well, I know you've got to go in and see the president of Google speak here in a couple of minutes, but we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And if businesses listening need help with licensing and various other things that we've already discussed here, what's the best way to get a hold of your office?
They can come to 805 in City Hall, or they can call us 74-GO-BIZ.
All right, nice to see you.
Good seeing you. Thank you.
We're going to talk America's Cup, the World Series, Chicago coming. I have an inflatable raft I picked up at Walmart, and I'm going to try to get entered.
I think you have to qualify, Steve. I don't think that'll do it.
What? Well, it's not until June 10th. I have time, don't I?
Yeah, you've got, let's see, that would give you, what, 3 days?
Yeah, it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you already have the floaties, too.
I do have the floaties because I'm not a strong swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I don't know. That seemed like that might be a problem when it comes to the America's Cup. The America's Cup and the big boats, the big sailing ships, will be here this weekend. How many? Do we know? Do we know how many ships? Is it just one guy with like a necktie?
Nine. It's nine.
It's nine boats and an ascot?
Six or nine.
Okay, one of those two. 45-foot-long, wing-sailed, multi-hull ships. And none of that was cursing. Starting on Friday. We'll talk with Todd Reynolds coming up here in just a few minutes. Some other news stuff to get to before we press forward after this on 720 WGN. I don't know if you can pick that up, but Springsteen is here, apparently.
Yes, he is. He looks good. E Street Band.
The doors are open. They're welcoming people in for the Chamber of Commerce breakfast. And the ambient noise you'll pick up here is the, it's that. It's Springsteen.
Mm-hmm. He sounds good.
I heard Prince earlier. So.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Dearly beloved.
All right, so I mentioned the politics nationally. What's going on locally? Have I missed anything overnight?
Well, yeah, that's actually I'm about to tell you the big story.
What?
Little argument going on between Mayor Emanuel and Governor Rauner.
What? They're not getting along again? I have volunteered to be the referee in a summit between the two of them.
Cake by the lake.
And so they could have cake by the lake. That's right.
Right.
You spread out a blanket. And Rauner and Rahm would have cake by the lake. I would bring them the cake. Mm-hmm. I would sit there. We would all sit with our legs crossed in the lotus position. Is that the lotus position?
I think so.
Yeah. And then someone would come and spot me and help me get out of the lotus position. And then I would leave, and I would leave the cake. And then they would have the cake, and they would be able to get along again for the greater good of Illinois. I think it's a foolproof plan. I got to be honest with you.
Great plan.
Other things happening, the Tribune publishing mess continues. Will the Tribune newspapers merge with Gannett or won't they? Why is this a big deal to you? Well, costs affiliated with running the Chicago Tribune are significant. And at some point, will it be just a digital product? And who's going to own it?
And when are they going to change the name from Tronc?
Yeah, I don't know where that is. That seemed like the most poorly executed idea.
I agree.
Yeah, very, very bizarre. And one of the other national stories that's out there, which I think is significant, Ronald Reagan's son has come out, and Ronald Reagan's son, I'm sorry.
Hey, that's Bernie Sanders. Oh, wait.
Sorry, a mental patient just came by in a suit to heckle me. I don't even know what the guy wanted.
He did heckle you. He looked like Bernie Sanders, didn't he?
What did he say, all white?
I'll tell you later.
No, did he say
yes,
all white?
Yes, he said we're all white. And he's correct, so...
Sir, you've won a car.
Woo, woo.
What the hell was the point of that?
Oh, boy. No clue.
Anyway, my point was this Tronc thing was incredibly poorly executed, which led me to the Michael Reagan comment. Michael Reagan stating that his father probably last night, you know, if he were still around, Ron Reagan, the president.
Right.
Wouldn't come close to endorsing Trump.
How about that? I know.
Yeah, so that's a big deal.
Very big deal.
Go forward. And by the way, breaking news, we're all white.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
I'd like to thank Dave for playing the guitar on this. Crank this up. Nice work, Dave.
Thank you.
Not just a sports guy. Dave's a great axe man. Thanks to Dr. Kevin Most and everybody at Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. The CDH folks, the Delnor folks, hosted us out of Medina yesterday for their annual fundraiser. Had a great time and played some decent golf. And I thought we were in contention. We actually lost by 10 shots.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
leads me to think that those above us may have cheated.
Yeah, yeah. I think they cheated. Yeah. Yep. Probably the situation.
We played well.
We could have cheated.
Yeah, no. But we chose not to.
No.
Because we're better people than that.
That's right.
Most of the time.
Meanwhile, Sandberg was out at the Kemper sports event called the Invitational, and all our friends at Kemper, and I'm sorry I missed that, but Steve Lesnick and Josh and everybody out there, did you see a bunch of us?
I did, and they missed you. Everyone had noted that you were on the original RSVP list, but then you pulled out.
Yeah, because, you know, prior commitments. What do you do when you're being pulled in so many different directions? Now, one of my best friends, Emil Esposito, had a message for me that he gave to you.
Emil is very nice. He told me to tell you that you have a terrible swing.
Oh, that's sweet.
What?
That's sweet. That's my friend, Emil.
And he had very soft hands.
All right, that's weird.
Well, Sandberg knew that. That was all part of the hiring process, as you know, Andrea. All right, so listen, there is a great sporting event coming to town. And is there anything more beautiful in Chicago than to see the sails go up on Lake Michigan on a summer day?
No, it's beautiful.
Right?
Beautiful.
You know, from any high rise in the city. Hey, can we turn Prince up?
I told you I heard Prince earlier. Thank you.
That's unbelievable.
Let's go crazy.
But at any rate, there is a major sporting event coming to town where maximum sales will be in play by the best athletes in the business. Todd Reynolds is here, and the America's Cup World Series kicks off June 10th at Navy Pier. And Todd, you look like you're ready to go hit it right now.
Good morning. Yeah, we actually the team's gotten to town this past week, and we're starting to build the boats already.
Very windy day yesterday. What's the optimum conditions to sail? For ships the size we're talking about.
Yeah, the more wind, the better, until there's too much wind. So we'd love to see 20, 22 miles an hour winds, but nothing more than that.
Is that part of the choice of being here? I mean, obviously, we got a nice little lake. Let's say use it to its advantage. But meteorologically, is it conducive to having the race here?
Chicago's a little bit of everything. That's why we're here right now, is when we look at historical averages, Chicago's wind is the best in June. But fingers crossed, good breeze this weekend. The forecast are looking good right now.
You're racing catamarans?
Exactly, yeah. We're actually sailing wing-sailed. So these sails don't go up with a rope. They go up with a crane. They stick 75 feet up in the air. They're about 30% more efficient than a normal sail. And they foil above the water. So these boats fly above the water, going 35, 40 miles an hour, ripping up and down the lakefront.
How fast does that feel? I mean, you're used to it. But for the rest of us, would we just scream like a...
I'm definitely not used to it. And it feels
you're not used to it?
Yeah, it is unreal.
But it's the ultimate for the sport, right?
It's the pinnacle of the sport. This is the greatest challenge. It's a technology challenge. It's a sailing challenge. It's a physical challenge.
Now, when you're out there and you're doing it live, people who are watching who don't know the sport, and, you know, I count myself amongst them, I suppose, you go, well, what's the course? How are you, you know, what's the competition? Are you timed? Are you hitting buoys? What are you doing?
Yeah, so we're doing laps around a race course. Our race course runs from Navy Pier to the Adler Planetarium. Pretty simple to follow. We're going to do 3 20-minute races each day. And the best thing you have going for you with America's Cup Racing, you download the America's Cup app.
Okay.
You can actually watch the live TV feed or the 3D virtual viewer right from your phone.
But is this an active race or a timed competition?
Active race. We've got 6 boats out there on the line jostling for position. They'll be sailing within inches of each other at times. Potentially crashes, potentially capsizes. Generally, the margin of delta between the first place boat and the last place boat, about 25 seconds.
Is that right?
Yeah, really, really tight racing.
How do you trash talk when you're out in the open lake?
It gets caught in the wind pretty quick, but you should see the guys. So the teams right now, right, they're in Navy Pier. They've shown up. The boats arrive in 40-foot shipping containers, all carbon fiber.
What? You're kidding me.
The show goes around the world, right? They just came in from New York. They're into Portsmouth in a few weeks over in the UK.
So you're completely dependent on the FedEx guy.
FedEx, rail, you know, shipping cargo ships and everything like that, rails, trains, and automobiles. But the team's set up, and they're right next to each other right now in Navy Pier.
Coolest building venue, the boats.
Building the boats. Coolest venue ever. And that's where you start eyeing the other guy's boat. You see how their setup is, who's got the best power drill, all that kind of stuff. And they're starting to gear up for the weekend.
And I assume there's specs the same way there is in motor racing where, you know, guys might try to maybe get a slight advantage. Who inspects all that?
Yeah, good question. So the boats that we're racing here in Chicago are what they call one design. So the boats are actually all built by one manufacturer, and they are all very, very carefully measured, controlled. The teams actually aren't allowed to touch the boats between races.
Oh, is that right?
Correct. The finals for the America's Cup, which will be held in Bermuda in 2017, so we're a qualifying race here in Chicago, those boats, they are allowed to tweak design just like F1.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been working on this event coming to Chicago for over a year now.
Good for you, man. You must be very proud, very excited.
It's been my baby. There's a lot of work going into it. There's a huge team behind me down at Navy Pier. And we're just so excited to have the show here coming to town this weekend.
I want to get Dave and Andre in here in a second, but when we come back, I'd love for you to answer the question on the best place to watch this. And also the other question I have about the race course itself. Who's the ref?
Yeah.
You know, who's the guy? Who's watching to make sure that they're actually making the laps and nobody's cutting? Nobody's going Rosie Ruiz and going straight to the finish line. We'll come back and we'll talk more about America's Cup World Series Chicago kicks off June 10th at Navy Pier. Who's the MC for the big gala to kick that off? Do we know?
I do know. I know him well.
What is his name?
Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm a big Pat Boyle fan.
We're so lucky to have him.
Yeah. Well, not really. You could get anybody. Let's... Todd Reynolds is here. Todd, what's your title? Do you have a title?
I'm the local event director.
This is America's Cup World Series Chicago qualifying race for America's Cup 2017, which are going to be where?
Down in Bermuda.
And the winner here, automatic qualifier?
You know what it actually is with the America's Cup? It's two boats. So we're trying to pick who is going to take on Team USA, the defender.
Okay. Explain what happens during the race that would have, for this 20-minute period, that would have a team of five guys cranking it out like they're running a marathon.
Yeah, it's crazy. These guys are working very close to max heart rate the entire 20-minute race, and that's because there's no engine on board. The guys are actually the engine. They have to provide the hydraulic power to manipulate the foils that make these boats fly.
And this is the Louis Vuitton-sponsored, right?
Exactly. Can't forget the Louis.
Yeah, and thanks to the people at Louis Vuitton who have supplied my underpants today.
It's actually pretty cool. So Louis Vuitton has been involved with the event for over 33 years.
Is that right?
One of the longest sports sponsorships in history.
How about that? Is Sandberg, is that why you're involved with this in a tangential way, because of the Louis Vuitton connection?
There's the Louis Vuitton, and then there's the very good-looking guys that do the boat.
Yeah. I'm Pat now, very nervous about actually emceeing the entire thing. Dave, say hi.
Todd, let me ask you about watching it again, because people in Chicago have probably seen the Chicago to Mackinac race for years. You can see it start, but you have to really be out on the lake to watch it. This is different, right? Because you can be on the lake shore and get a good view.
Great question. Yeah, this is unlike any sailboat race you've ever seen. Our stadium is Chicago. It's actually inside the Outer Harbor. So we race from Navy Pier down to the Planetarium inside the breakwall, so from the lighthouse to Lakeshore Drive. What that means is, so Navy Pier, that's the epicenter of the event. That's the event village. That's the grandstands. If you're into the race, that's where you want to be. If you just want to come check it out, you just want to see the spectacle, head down to Museum Campus, head down to Queen's Landing, and you'll be able to see it all, have a nice picnic, and just hopefully enjoy the weekend.
What's the risk factor? What's the danger
factor?
You mean
for you watching it, Dave?
No.
I think it'd be fun.
No. I mean, for the participants.
You could trip walking along the sand. I don't know.
I mean, there is some danger, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, so these guys are wearing body armor. They're wearing rebreathers. They're wearing helmets. They train with Navy SEALs to make sure that they can sustain a crash or anything like that. Every team always has a 30-foot rib, just like one of the police boats you see out there, and they've got a diver suited up with a medic on board. It's just like auto racing now. These boats are going fast. The margin for error is very, very small. But these guys are the best in the world. They train every single day. And into everything today, it's been, luckily, fingers crossed, we keep it that way.
Who's the favorite?
Right now, Team New Zealand is leading. The Kiwis, so back in 2013, they were 8-1 up. They were the ones
they're
that actually
supposed to be good
out
at
how
for Grand Island. They're either chasing ruse or they're out on their boats, right?
It's amazing to see the nation down there. So into sailing, rugby and sailing. Chicago's got both.
Right.
All Blacks actually coming back in September. But
is that right? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, breaking news. The All Blacks are coming back.
Sorry if I let that one out of the bag. Yeah. I think it's public, though.
Yeah, it is.
But you know what? The ones actually to watch is Team Japan. Team Japan, everybody's saying right now, Team Japan are the fastest boat. So we'll see.
United States, New Zealand, Great Britain, Sweden, Japan, and France all here. Oracle Team USA won the America's Cup in San Francisco in 2013. Who's the biggest star in sailing? Who's the LeBron James, the Steph Curry, the Jonathan Taves? Who is it?
Got to say Ben Ainslie. Ben has 5 Olympic medals. 4 of those are gold. He won the America's Cup in 2013 with the Oracle Racing Team. He's now started his own team, Ben Ainslie Racing, over in the UK. The America's Cup actually started at a World's Fair around the Isle of Wight over in 1851 around the Isle right off Portsmouth, England. But the British have never won the America's Cup. And so they finally have put together a team, and they think
they're too polite. Just when they're in front, they drop back. Oh, no, you go.
Yeah, I think Sir Thomas Lipton, who tried multiple times to win and invested heavily in it, would probably have a different feeling. They say they're trying to bring the cup home, and we'll see if they're successful.
Again, if people want to see it, the price is right.
Price is right. We've got options for viewing for all budgets. We do have some hospitality left if folks are interested in that. Really, really premium experience down at Navy Pier. But at the other end, head out to Museum Campus, head down to Queen's Landing, and just have a great weekend with the family.
Oh, the referee portion of this, the official on the water, is positioned where?
So just like most sports these days, there's a technology component and there's an in-person component.
Okay.
Technology, these guys are actually using GPS, tracking the boats, and they can see exactly where the boats are going, all of that, but they're back in a 40-foot shipping container. The second piece is we've got two umpires on the water, just like a line judge in football, but they have to go 40 miles an hour. So they're sitting on a high-speed speedboat trying to chase these boats around the race course. Talk about a hard job.
And how do you call an infraction? In other words, do you wait till the end of the race and you go, you did this or that?
No, it's a system of lights and buttons. So the umpire sees an infraction. They radio back to the booth. The booth says, hey, penalize these guys. And then that boat actually has to slow down a certain amount of time.
Is that right?
I can see why it's a system of light and buttons.
Yeah, Andrea is right now. And by the way, this is based on Sandberg, who's producing the show, telling Andrea who the cutest guys are.
No, we're
and now
doing,
they're sharing pictures.
No, this is research. It's
okay,
research.
Andrea, my eyes are
for
up
Todd's
here.
Interview.
My eyes are up here. I'm tired of being treated like a piece of meat. Todd, you know what I'm talking about.
Ben.
could be your brother, your twin.
Yeah, me?
Exactly.
Both of you,
yeah,
triplets.
Exactly,
yeah.
It's great seeing you, and I know this is a work day. It's been crazy getting this together, and I know what a big push it's been for you. So thanks for doing it for the city.
Yeah, thanks for having me down. This is something that has never been to Chicago before. It might never come home. Hopefully, I mean, our goal is to change that and get it back here in future years, but really hope the whole city comes out and just checks it out, whether you're a boating fan or not.
Should have a media day next time you pull this off and just put five of us on one of these and see if we crash it.
Marion, I'll go.
That's a great idea. I think we should do that on Thursday. Let's come down to Navy.
Thursday.
Media, come down on Thursday.
Ready?
Thursday. Not a strong swimmer.
I want to be strapped to one of the sailors.
Yeah.
You know, like a tandem
for safety,
jump.
For right.
That's
right.
Interesting.
Yes.
You know, that was actually live. Yeah, we were actually on the air. Todd, website for information and all things?
Yeah, hop on to LVACWS, so Louis Vuitton America's Cup World Series, Chicago.com.
Okay, give it to me one more time.
LVACWS, Chicago.com.
Nice to see you, bud. Good luck with it.
Thanks for having me.
7:57, we'll come back. More from the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce 112th Annual Meeting. We're at the Hyatt Regency East in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
downtown Chicago, right off Wacker. We're in the basement. We're on a gold level. And today's broadcast live from the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce annual meeting at the Hyatt. Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9. Good morning.
You know, we did the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon from where you are right now.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know how many years that we did it. In the ballrooms of the lower levels of the Hyatt Regency, where you are. So,
timpani.
It's funny when you think about it, because you walk in and you take two flights down. And, you know, it's sort of counterintuitive, right? You would think, well.
Right.
But they have this thing called rooms. You know, they want to sell the rooms. So all the space is very carefully planned. And one of the grand ballrooms is where we are in the basement of the Hyatt.
There's a whole
plus
city.
Plus, our mom
city
doesn't
down
know
there.
We're down here.
There's a whole city down there.
Yeah,
it's gigantic.
So
I stayed there also. My other Hyatt Regency story: during the blizzard of 78, I got stranded. I forget what radio station I was at then, but I got stranded downtown and stayed at the Hyatt Regency on the company credit card. And I may have abused the company credit card a little bit while...
Is that why you don't work at the place then?
That might be why I'm no longer working there. Yeah. Right.
Well, this is a Chamber of Commerce annual meeting. We were talking earlier about this. If you weren't in show business and you were going to start a business, what would it be?
I would be definitely in the produce business.
And you would be selling lettuce?
I would be selling, you know, nobody thumps a melon better than I do, Steve. You know
right,
that.
Right, but what does that have to do with your job?
I don't know. I love produce.
So you would, grandfather
like
had
a farmer's market kind of thing?
Like maybe an upscale produce, you know, specialty produce store with like really fantastic but not too expensive produce.
My grandfather used to own a produce company.
Yeah.
Does Dean know him?
Probably. Yeah. Are they related to him?
Do you want to know what our choices were here?
I would.
Mary is going to start a store called Vanderfelt. It's a fabric store.
Ooh. I don't know about that name yet. That was the closet's idea.
I love the name.
Working on it.
She likes working with fabrics. And
that's not what I thought the store was going to be when I heard felt.
Yes, oh, Vanderfelt.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that was like some fluffer operation.
Got to change.
Completely different. Pardon me.
An hour later, I just got there.
And what are you doing? I forgot what you're doing. Oh, you're doing a high-end golf shoes thing.
Well, shoes and women's apparel too, clothing.
Yeah, like an Athleta.
Yeah. For
like
all sports,
Kate
too.
Hudson's thing.
Tennis, golf, yeah.
Like but cool chick clothes.
Cool chick clothes, yeah.
Yeah. Dave, you doing the same thing as Andrea?
No, I'm doing a juice bar, and Dean is going to supply the produce.
Oh, you've already got a business.
We could be in the same strip mall.
Yeah.
And
that's
I do
right, along
strip.
With Vanderfelt.
And John, what are you doing?
Personal trainer.
Personal training.
What is your mic not working?
I've been doing it for about 10 years, Dean. So
go ahead and use a different microphone.
Just use a different mic.
Or could you press the on button? There
you want to just talk louder? Do we have any?
Personal trainer.
I realize I was rude when I burst out laughing when you said that. Sorry.
No, it's not rude at all because John has a concept, and John's concept is he is the before picture.
That's not
personal trainer.
That's not nice.
Well, no, it's his idea.
All right.
Yeah, it's totally his idea.
And what was Dave's store? What the kale? What the
juice
kale?
Bar? Juice bar. Juice
no,
bar.
What the kale?
What the kale? Was it?
What the kale?
Yeah, WTK. What the kale?
How about go to kale?
Go to kale.
Go to kale.
Go to
kale.
Yeah, go to kale.
Would you mix my drink and go?
You know this.
There
is
we go.
Too.
Now
you're
on. You're
like
air.
Wayne Brady. Now you just say a sentence and John writes a song.
Yeah. Sandberg, what was your business? What were you? Gonna do? Marketing. That's right. She's doing marketing.
Like produce.
Marketing produce. Yep. So, yeah, we got everything really hooked up. What did I say? I forgot what I said. What was yours?
I don't know. We weren't paying
writing
attention.
Writing for children.
Creative writing.
Cursive writing.
I was going to tutor kids on how to write.
And how to print.
Well, when I retire from this, my store called Thump Me will be opening soon. So
I think Thump This.
Thump This
is probably
better than this. Yep.
All right. So we had a weird thing happen here at the Chamber of Commerce meeting about an hour ago.
Imagine that in a hotel.
Yeah, no, it's not that kind of weird. A guy walks by, and he looked like Bernie Sanders. It wasn't Bernie Sanders, but a guy walks by, and he looks like Bernie Sanders, and he points at all of us individually as he's walking, and he goes, "Yep, all white."
and then he said, little old white man. And then as he walked away, he went, "I told you," kind of to himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he talking about your teeth, maybe, your immaculate dental hygiene?
I don't know what his point was, but he was, you know, something about the diversity of the show. I don't know, but all white. So I literally, it aggravated me enough that I got up and went looking for him. And then I realized that 50% of the people attending this breakfast are older white guys in suits. I mean, it was like, it was like a Where's Waldo cartoon. I couldn't find him. All right, good story, Steve.
he had some wild hair going on, so maybe Bernie. That would give him more.
Bernie Sanders.
He did, yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Bobby Brown speaking out. Amber Heard met with Gloria Allred. Because, you know, my feeling is if you really want to get something solved, hire Gloria Allred. She's all about doing the right thing. ABBA getting back together. I don't know that we need that much. That frightens Dean more than it does
exactly.
Me.
That's not. That's a little misleading.
Yeah, I don't care.
I would love it if ABBA get back together.
Michelle Obama is throwing a party at the White House.
That's also not true.
And Jesse Eisenberg is in the news this morning as well. All of that coming up. We are live again at the Hyatt for the Chamber of Commerce 112th annual meeting.
You can travel Chicago. We'll be calling his name.
Sponsored by WinTrust Community Banks.
Back to Dean live at Channel 9. How are things at Channel 9 this morning?
Everything is fantastic. We have Jimmy J.J. Walker, who's going to be in studio with us later on. Exactly, yeah. Dynamite. Yeah.
Do you guys ever turn down a guest?
All the time.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't you?
Yeah. 90% of the guests that want to be on get turned down.
Whether you want them or not?
I just turn them down randomly.
If it's if you haven't reached your 90% threshold yet?
Yeah, I just shut it down. Shut it down. That's the way I roll.
So you could have, like, Oprah Winfrey.
Down.
Sorry, we're only at 83% right now. We're going to have to take a pass.
Well, you know, the thing I keep bringing up about Oprah, and it's true, factually true, is this is the number one talk show in Chicago until Oprah comes back. So we're hoping she doesn't make a comeback.
Oh, so you're trying to keep her down.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we got a bunch of things in show business to discuss here. Bobby Brown speaking out about losing his wife and his daughter. Isn't he complicit in some of this in some way or not?
Well, this is the first time that he's spoken since his daughter died, Bobby Christina, which unbelievably is almost a year now that she's been passed away, even longer than that since she was found in the bathtub and then went into the coma for such a long period of time. And really, for the first time in my memory of everything that has been written about Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston, everything that we saw on that reality show Being Bobby Brown through the years, which was a dysfunctional train wreck, a drug-addled train wreck of bringing up a small child. Bobby Brown, for the first time, said that he and his ex-wife, Whitney Houston, completely failed their daughter.
Oh, he did say that.
He did say that, and he said, we should have done better, we could have done better, and is, you know, very regretful of it now. Talks about, you know, what it's been like since his daughter died, and how, you know, the hardest thing that he's ever had to do in his life was for himself to accept that he had to let his daughter go, but also to say to Bobby Christina when she was in the coma that it was okay to let go. He said, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. It was the worst pain ever in his life, as any parent can imagine what that must have been.
Yeah,
like.
And the instinctive response here by many would be, what difference does it make now? Here's the difference it makes. Anybody who sees this, who is engaged in abusive behavior, whether you're abusing yourself, you're abusing your family, whatever the case may be, it impacts your children on every single level. It sounds like a cliche, but it's not. If one person learns something from the massive failure of Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston, well, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's, the tragedy would have been if he would, you know, still not realize what a complete train wreck that was. And that the way that they brought up their daughter, the things that their daughter was exposed to through the years, may have contributed to her own premature death. He talked about...
Here's one other thing. Tell me how you feel about this, and you guys jump in too on this. I hate reality TV with a white-hot passion. And I hate watching people who are either in the throes of destroying their own lives or who are just jackasses for the sake of being on TV. There's nothing to me entertaining about it. It's not some high-on-the-horse stance that I'm taking. I just don't understand the entertainment value in this. The people at MTV, was it MTV that put that show on?
The Real World? The Bobby Brown Show?
Was that MTV?
I think that was, it may have been VH1.
Well, the same network.
The
Viacom.
Other non-music playing station.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So Viacom. The people that put those shows on, I understand it's a business. We're all in this business. But at some point, you got to look yourself in the mirror. And when you look yourself in the mirror and you're putting that on TV, you're related to the problem. You know, you're not forcing people to take drugs and drink and be bad parents, but you're making money off it. How's that feel good?
Yeah, it goes with that. It goes with Honey Boo Boo. It goes, yeah. You know, with, you know, put your Jerry Springers into the mix. Put your, you know, all these shows that show the worst of society, that show this outrageous behavior. And, you know, this goes with the Kardashians. This goes with, you know, sorry, Donald Trump fans, The Apprentice. I mean, part of the reason people were watching The Celebrity Apprentice was to watch mean and nasty behavior, one person against another.
I don't understand.
There's something wrong with it.
I don't understand the vicarious thrill of it.
Yeah.
I don't get it at all.
And I think it enables people to manifest their own bad behavior in real life. You know, people see this and it becomes the new normal for how to resolve a conflict and how to live your own life. So, I mean, not to over-dramatize the effect of reality television, but I think it does have a very damning effect. And, you know, I think that the Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina Brown case, you know, sort of is the real life and extremely tragic example of all that.
Gloria Allred is one of the most miserable people I've ever dealt with, and and she can't wait to stick her head in the middle of any case involving a woman under the guise of being this bright, shining light of helping women in the worst of times. Gloria Allred is all about the publicity, and the moment she can't generate any more publicity from you, she drops you like a hot rock. And I know this because I know this woman, I've dealt with her, and I've seen what she does to people. Why would Amber Heard, with her resources and her abilities, align with this knucklehead?
I don't know who initiated the meeting, but People Magazine says that there was a four-hour meeting with Gloria Allred and her law firm in Los Angeles last week of Amber Heard, who is not only going through a divorce with Johnny Depp right now, but was granted a temporary restraining order. She has accused Johnny Depp of domestic violence. Johnny Depp has denied all allegations and says that it's an attempt to get a larger financial settlement in the divorce. So we don't know if it was Gloria Allred's people or Gloria herself that initiated contact with Amber Heard or vice versa. We simply know that that a meeting, according to People Magazine, did take place. As Steve said, she has gotten hooked up in some of the really big high-profile cases, mostly of crimes against women, the Cosby sexual abuse cases, the family of Nicole Brown Simpson, Tiger Woods case. There's been one celebrity case after another. As Steve says, they're mostly celebrity cases.
And if you can find me three people who have been represented by Gloria Allred in these cases who say it was a great experience, I will donate $1,000 to your favorite charity.
All right, then.
It's a bad human being. How bad? If I was locked in an elevator with Gloria Allred and Gwen Stefani, I'd shove Gloria Allred out and I'd give Gwen Stefani an extra ride. Anywhere you want to go, Gwen. It's a bad human being. ABBA is quietly reuniting, at least for a gig.
Well, this was, ABBA, during the 70s and 80s, arguably the most popular group in the world with, their many hit songs. They quit at the peak of their popularity. Since breaking up, they have remained famously reclusive and not doing anything together, at least anyway. The guys got together and they started the musical Mamma Mia, which is continues to be a huge hit.
And by the way, your favorite.
I like the stage version of Mamma Mia. I was about to say that spawned the unfortunate movie version of Mamma Mia, which is the one that I still get goosebumps from for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. But the four of them...
Audrey loved it, by the way.
No, I did like it.
You loved
but
it.
But I didn't like Pierce Brosnan.
She loved because it was in Greece. That's why it was shot
I like Meryl Streep.
Shot in Greece. I defy anyone to listen to the singing in that movie and say that you didn't get the same response with your gastric digestive system as Steve does with... if he had dinner with Gloria Allred.
The live musical is much better.
Yeah.
By the way, Axl Rose is fronting ABBA for this gig because he sings lead for every band now.
So they had a 50th anniversary party of the formation of the group ABBA in Stockholm, Sweden, where they're from. And it was one of the first times since they've broken up in 1986 that all four of them have been on a stage together. They didn't
looking
perform.
At a picture of them right now. They look great.
They all look fantastic. And as I say, they have not all performed together since 1986. It's the last time that they've...
But admit it. Wouldn't you love to hear Axl Rose do Waterloo? Come on.
Mamma Mia.
Right, exactly.
I am a dancing queen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
that's
that?
Great. That's pretty good, actually.
They consistently—they've been offered $1 billion to tour and have consistently turned down that unbelievable offer.
Yeah, no kidding. And finally, Jesse Eisenberg's in the news for what?
Jesse is—you know him from Social Network. He starred as Lex Luthor in the Batman-Superman movie. He's got a new one that's coming out this weekend called Now You See Me 2. Talked to him yesterday, and he's currently starring in a play in London. But he said he wants to be on stage, but he wants to be on stage here in Chicago. Listen to this.
I read that you're going to be bringing Lex Luthor back in the Justice League movie. Is that correct?
Yes, I certainly hope so. I'm like, yes, they're filming in London now, so I'm kind of waiting for my turn. And yeah, it's great. I mean, that is like, it's this massive movie, and it attracts like the most, amazing artisans in the world. So all the stuff, with a movie like that is just so detailed and interesting, and I just love the people working on it. My background is in theater as an actor. My dream is to work in Chicago theater, frankly. I mean, Steppenwolf is my, was the basis of the current play that I wrote and I'm acting in was based on kind of early Steppenwolf style stuff.
How about that?
So come on, Steppenwolf people, step up and let's get Jesse Eisenberg to do a play here.
He'd be a total draw.
I love him. He sounds so neurotic and nutty. He could not be a nicer guy. I've interviewed him so many times. Could not be a nutter guy, but that nervous kind of persona that you hear in him speaking, that's him calm.
That really is who
he
is.
That's him totally calm, yeah.
Well, listen, you're delightful, and they aren't. What is that? I don't know what I'm talking about.
What?
I'm just doing a test here. Can you hear a phone call in the background of our line here, Dean? Can you?
What do you mean, like a buzz or something?
Like a conversational phone call?
No, I don't.
Okay, so that's just here.
No.
Just wanted to make sure.
I do have on line two, though, Gloria Allred, waiting to speak to you.
Okay, good. You know what? I would love to speak to
Gloria. I believe she may, yeah. Something about a lawsuit.
Oh, we've had conversations before. It'd be great to reunite.
I would pay any money to hear that conversation.
Oh, you'd love it. You really would.
If I can arrange for her to be on the show, would you talk to her?
Absolutely. You know, my dream show would be her for an 8 o'clock hour after Trump in the 7 o'clock hour.
And Gwen Stefani in the 6?
Yeah, and I'd let her sing.
I need that day off.
Oh, I
Andrea's,
would live for...
Andrea is uncomfortable right
I
now.
I would take the day off of TV so I could be to listen to that.
Dean will be
there
in for me.
With popcorn.
I love it.
It'll be fantastic. All right, it is, what time is it?
8:35.
Does anyone have a watch? It's 8:35.
It's 8:35.
Let's take a break, come back, get your big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
I want to say hi to a bunch of people come by to say hi, including the guy who wanted to tell us we were all white. But I want to say hi to Kevin Cassidy, president of Healthcare Service Corporation's National Accounts, came over to say hi. It's a bunch of business folks here, obviously. Chamber of Commerce, 112th annual meeting. And we continue live from the Hyatt Regency East in downtown Chicago. John Acosta is here. John, how are you? Well, go ahead and turn John's mic on.
Should I be up
there
on? There we go. Is it working? Al, is it okay?
Yeah, it's working
okay.
Just fine.
I think it's fine.
It's really,
was that pretty good?
Yeah, it's great.
That's really good. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah, this is probably not the best time to do
it. No, it's perfect. Yeah. Really. Amp me up a little more. All right, so I want to mention that we have a show coming up that I don't think we've announced yet. It's August 12th?
August 12th. It's a Friday night.
Okay.
In Naperville at Bella Sal Banquets, which means beautiful banquets.
Bella Sal Banquets.
Bella Sal Banquets.
And where is that?
It is in Naperville, right on New York Avenue.
Okay.
I think it's right between Naperville and Aurora. But we're doing, it's one night, just you and I and Mike Toomey from WGN Morning.
So you get tickets now?
Actually, next week. Next week.
Okay, so we'll give you information on how to get
tickets.
Correct. How is your YouTube channel going? You know, we like to check in on your YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel you have is Today Into Cause.
Today Into Cause, right.
And you put up videos of you doing stuff.
Right. The latest one was...
I don't know why that's not enough for people to go and subscribe and check that out.
Yeah, well, I've been asking for a lot of money when they subscribe.
Oh, well, that could be a hindrance. What's up there now?
Same price to get eggs here.
The $200 eggs here at the morning?
Is that okay?
Yeah, the breakfast is a little costly here at the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, the latest one was Lotto Loser.
And Lotto...
Lotto Loser.
Lotto Loser.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you go, you'll see John doing normal everyday stuff like making toast. And you'll also see him losing the lottery and various other things.
Yeah.
All right. So where do we go again?
Go to Today Into Cause on YouTube.
And you're good to go.
Yeah. There's about 30 videos up there now.
And we continue live from the Chamber of Commerce breakfast where the mayor's speaking now. Did you see the mayor?
I did see the mayor. And he's giving a little bit of a welcome And then he's going to be introducing the president of Google, who's going to make an announcement here today. We don't know what that announcement is going to be. But I did ask him to come by after he speaks and say hello to us. And he said he'll try.
Okay. Well, you know, he'll try, and ROM talk means see you next time.
But I did say we're riding bikes soon. He said, yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, good. So that's still on the schedule.
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, the mayor's always welcome, as is the governor, and as is Mike Madigan, who's making little news. What's the news on Madigan?
Mike Madigan has actually canceled. They had a session scheduled for tomorrow. Mike Madigan has canceled the House session.
Oh, yeah. They don't really need to get anything accomplished.
No.
Why would you get together?
No. He's saying he's canceling the session because of the ongoing budget impasse with Governor Rauner. So that really doesn't make a lot of sense.
What is he doing instead of canceling the session? Is he meeting with Governor Rauner?
No. That is not on the agenda.
All right. I'm going to advocate something now, and I'm advocating this for Governor Rauner as well, because I think, in fairness, he should also have to do this. But I would ask for the four tops, and that would be Cullerton, Redonio, Madigan. Who am I missing?
Rauner.
No, I'm missing somebody.
Cullerton, Madigan, Redonio.
And Rauner's the governor.
Well, yeah.
The two Senate leaders and the two House leaders. Who's Madigan's equivalent on the Republican side?
My God, I'm drawing a complete blank.
So am I. Anyway, the four tops plus the governor. I'm advocating that each of them submit to a complete mental health workup. Because I firmly believe there's something wrong with individuals who can't solve a problem in any way, shape, or form. So I would like a full, and I believe the state of Illinois and the people of Illinois deserve this. You know, every year you have the reporter on the lawn at the White House when the president does the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a voluntary thing. You don't have to do it. But tradition dictates that the president's physical health is important.
Durkin, of course.
And so each of the four tops, Durkin, Redonio, Madigan, and Cullerton, and Governor Rauner, will all submit to a full mental health workup by a bipartisan mental health individual, who, by the way, isn't getting paid by the state either.
Exactly.
And we will pay.
We can use our money for that.
Yeah, Todd, we can do this, right? We'll pay for this. Yeah, Todd just got back from a couple days off. He loves us. We'll pay for this. I want complete mental health workups on everybody, because I believe there's got to be something wrong with a group of five adults who can't come to a solution to a problem that's affecting millions and millions and millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
It is selfish, it is narrow-minded, and it is, I almost cursed there.
Oh.
And it is BS is what it is.
It's baseless.
Right. So here's what we need to do. Sandberg, we need to find someone who would do a bipartisan mental health evaluation. And let's get them on the air. Let's have them screen me first to see what's wrong with me. And then we'll submit Madigan and everyone else to the same test. I'm more than willing to take the test. I'll take the same test. And I want to know what's wrong with Mike Madigan, because you have, well, with all of them. But let's start with Madigan. Let me just pull a name out of the hat. Let me just say, well, I don't know, Madigan. What's wrong with a guy who has such narrow interests that he thinks the interests of trial lawyers and service unions trump the interests of the entire state of Illinois to the point of putting the state of Illinois out of business? And how is that okay? That's what I want to know. A complete mental health workup of the people that run this state. And we'll get to the mayor. Will the mayor submit to it, too? Maybe during your bike tour.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
How about after the bike tour? That way we'll get the bike tour in.
Yeah, we should probably.
He'll be relaxed, and then he'll submit.
I'm not kidding about this. I am not kidding about this. I want Springfield to get a checkup from the neck up, and I want it soon.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, look at my African-American over here. Look at him.
I love Mexican people. I'm leading in every poll with the Hispanics. They love me. I love them.
I love the Muslims. I think they're great people.
Would I consider putting a Muslim American in my cabinet? Absolutely no problem with that.
I love the Chinese people.
We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
I even brought my Bible, the evangelicals, okay? We love the evangelicals.
Nothing beats the Bible, not even the art of the deal, not even close.
We won with women. I love the women.
I cherish women.
I love the people in this room. I love Israel. My daughter Ivanka is about to have a beautiful Jewish baby.
Everybody loves me.
His poll numbers just went up again.
I'm telling you, if he took a big steaming pile and you put Trump next to it, I couldn't tell the difference. Hillary Clinton will clinch the Democrats' nomination tonight when New Jersey's polls close about 7 o'clock our time. K California, of course, polls closed there later. Bernie Sanders seemed to soften yesterday on when he would endorse Clinton and why he might. President Obama called him yesterday and said, hey, Bernie, need you to get on board. We'll see what happens there as the day plays out. More locally, I'm advocating for a complete mental health workup of the leaders of the state of Illinois because crazy is the only explanation on how you could continue to hold the state hostage. We're going to find a therapist who will be willing to give us a bipartisan, non-party-specific look at why they're completely out of their mind. And I'm not just picking on Madigan here, though you know how I feel about him. I want Redonio and Cullerton and obviously Governor Rauner and Durkin, along with Madigan, to all take the same test. And I'll take it first.
That'll be interesting.
All right, so what is the story on why Madigan is not even holding a session?
Well, there's no explanation given. The House is not going to meet Wednesday as originally scheduled, and they found out about it. Mike Madigan sent a memo to lawmakers this morning. Actually, his longtime chief of staff, not Steve Brown, Tim Mapes, sent a memo saying that the session that they had for tomorrow is canceled, and he says that Madigan hopes that talks continue behind the scenes.
What are you, hopes?
He hopes they continue behind the scenes. But
he's the guy.
But he says he doesn't want to have lawmakers make the trek to the Capitol.
Oh, no, we don't want to put anybody out.
Because there's nothing.
No, we don't want to put anybody out. I mean, we don't want you guys to actually drive to Springfield and do the job you were elected and paid to do.
Right, but he says there's nothing for them to vote on yet, so they shouldn't make that trek back. However, if you remember last summer, how many times did he call them back for a special session? I think it was at least two or three to line up, of course, the votes that ended up in the attack ads that targeted the Republicans.
Remember, there was a papal conclave sometime in the Middle Ages where they locked all of the cardinals in until they came up with a decision.
Right. Yeah, in the Vatican.
Let's put them all in the room until it stinks to high heaven, lock the doors in Springfield, and nobody gets out until they come up with a decision on the most basic thing they are asked to do, which is a budget for the state of Illinois, you incompetent boobs.
And what color would the smoke be when they would release it from the window? Red?
Red, because we're that far underwater.
Right.
All right, so we'll find a therapist and we'll press forward on this. Why am I the only one pissed off about this? Is anybody else bothered by this?
No. Governor Rauner is supposed to make a statement about this morning. He's in Bloomington today.
And Governor Rauner, enough of the name calling. You know, find an answer. Okay, we understand that you got a problem with Rahm, and we understand that you got a problem with Madigan. We don't need name calling. We need you to figure out a way to get it done as well. And I'm not advocating that Rauner gives up anything.
Deep breaths.
Where's my doctor?
We're going to need one soon.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Every one of them has a story.
American Ninja Warrior, this is what I live for.
Every one of them must believe.
I am going to hit that buzzer.
Here we go.
And every one of them.
My sister was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy.
Has something.
I'm going to do this for her.
They are fighting for her.
This is an emotional run here.
He is delivering.
Nine ten. Now we continue with Dave Bennett's favorite show. And I got to tell you something. Anna played really well yesterday, and Andrea always plays well.
Oh,
okay, that means I don't, right?
Well, you've admitted you've struggled on the golf course. You don't play that often.
Struggled
you played
times.
Really well yesterday.
Thank
I thought you should feel good about it.
Thank you. I do feel good. Thank you, Steve.
But, you know, the one thing that was on display, Dave, and Andrea will back me up on this, is your incredible athletic prowess.
Yes, I thought that.
That's why I think a guy who loves American Ninja Warrior the way you do ought to exploit your newfound connection with your about-to-be best friend, Matt Eisenman, and get on the show.
I'm too old.
No, you're not.
No, I'm too old.
We could change the course that's more fitting for you. Like, you get to a certain point, it ought to be get off the couch, make it to the refrigerator, grab a snack, get back alive, that kind of thing.
Well, I could handle that, I think.
Let's go to Matt now. Matt Eisenman for American Ninja Warrior. American Ninja Warrior! Morning, Matt. How are you?
Dave, if you think you're too old, we have a competitor who's 73 years old taking the course this year.
Oh, I guess I'm not too old.
Ranger.
Whoa.
No, he said he's so serious about competing, he swore off chasing women for a couple months to get in shape.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's really cool because I know the guy he's talking about. They did some great background pieces on the show, and there's so many great stories to tell. And right in the middle of one of the events on the course, he stops to take his Lipitor. It's a very moving thing.
It's really important to control your cholesterol. Nice. And Dave, don't be ashamed if your tasks or your obstacles are going to be going to the couch to getting a beer, because that's essentially what I face too. I say those who can do, those who can't host. So these people on our show, I call them annoyingly fit. I'm going to stick to talking about it because they're in amazing shape, and what they do always blows my mind.
They really are incredible. And Dave, by the way, is in great shape. Where the tryouts and essentially the auditions for these that go on around the country, one of the things that's cool about this show is you don't show the people that are giant failures. Is that ever going to come out for amusement purposes at some point?
Oh, no, we do. We do. We, in fact, in our premiere episode in L.A., we had this guy, Chad Sorrells, who he was known as the Horse Whisperer, and he was this guy who's like 6'1", 190 pounds. He's ripped. He had gorgeous hair, and he's like, the ladies are going to love me. And he fell on the first obstacle.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
yeah.
I got to tell you, that the number of tweets I got from women who were like, good, he was too full of himself. I'm true. But if he rode up on his horse, you'd get on back, wouldn't you?
We're talking to Matt Eisenman, American Ninja Warrior, is going to do Atlanta for the next qualifying round. Now, how does this work? You and the crew go to how many cities?
So this year we're doing 5 cities across the nation. Los Angeles, Atlanta, Oklahoma City, Indianapolis, and Philadelphia.
Wow.
And we take, with there 100 people get what we call guaranteed spots. They're invited out. And then for the rest of the spots, we take walk-ons. Now, what's amazing is, I think this year, the longest someone waited was 31 days. They camped out for 31 days to try to get a chance on the course. And from that, we'll take the top 30, put them through an extended course, and then 15 people from each city earn a trip to Las Vegas, where we have Mount Midoriyama. That's all 4 stages. Last year, for the first time, we had 2 guys complete it, so we gave away $1 million on the show. It was unbelievable.
Competing for that $1 million prize are men and women. This is co-ed, right?
It is, and that's one of the unique things that I think is cool. Is everyone competes on the same course. The youngest competitors, we have 21 for legal reasons, but up to 73 years old, from 4'11" to, we had 6'10", people from 85 pounds to 275 pounds, men, women, they all compete on the same course. It's the great equalizer, and what's great is we're having women do unbelievably well. If you saw in the premiere episode, Jessie Graff was one of only a few people, men or women, who could complete the course, and she's actually a stunt woman who doubles Supergirl. So she's
in pretty good shape.
Tough lady. Unbelievable.
It's Matt Eisenman from American Ninja Warrior.
an unbelievable impression, Steve.
Yeah, though I watch a little bit of the show. Now, Dave, you tell me.
Yes.
I think, even for a guy in great shape like yourself, I think the toughest piece of equipment that these guys have to navigate through, men and women, is the I-beam. You're holding your weight upside down.
Yeah.
You're inching across that bad boy. It gets more narrow as you get to the end. But that's not where you get most of the failures, is it, Matt?
What's interesting is on every course, it's different. And the I-beam was absolutely brutal because it's so much of it is intense upper body strength. And people just aren't used to, unless you do a lot of rock climbing, you just don't have that fingertip strength. But what's cool is you're going to see in every city, we have different obstacles. We wanted to step it up. We wanted every city to feel unique. And because we knew last year we gave away $1 million, I think NBC said, if someone else wins Eisman, you're writing a check for $1 million. So we made sure the obstacles this year are going to be challenging, whether it's agility, upper body strength, the ability to, figure out how you're going to actually balance yourself on a rotating donut-like structure. I would probably stop and eat it. If these people figure out a way to get through it, it's amazing.
Well, I think the example, too, is the warped wall, which you raised this year. And I think
to 14 feet, but I never see the show, Dave, as you know.
I know that. But I think that the Jesse that you mentioned, Matt, she got through it, and then, right? She
was the first woman to get up a 14 and a half. It's 14 and a half feet now, another 6 inches higher. And what's amazing is just a few years ago, it was one of the most difficult obstacles. But now, because there are so many gyms around it, because people come in so much better prepared, we've seen only a handful of people fail. Even at 14 and a half feet, it's incredible. We keep trying to make these things and push them to their limits, but the ninjas get better and better.
The show airs on NBC, of course, and is how many week run are we in?
We're going to be going, the Olympics are going to throw us off, so they're going to be 13 or 14 episodes. But we're going to be doing Atlanta, and then after that, you'll get to see Indy and OKC and Philly, and then we'll do it all over again with the city finals. Then we're going to Las Vegas next week to actually shoot the finale, and I can't wait. We're also going to have Team USA versus the world is going to be back. So a lot of Ninja Warriors coming your way this summer.
Now, here's another thing that's cool about the dedication of the people that are involved. Obviously, they've got to be dedicated to the fitness like no other. But a lot of these people are spending money building their own duplicate courses in their own time.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. There's a guy who has what he calls the Enchanted Forest. It's in his backyard. I say it's somewhere in the South. And he now has 48 obstacles, which is about the same we're going to have in all of our qualifying cities. And each one's different. And it's amazing. He opens it up to ninjas from across the nation. The camaraderie that we see in this sport, where people will open their homes, open their obstacles, open their minds, and share knowledge and share their skill set. It's really unlike anything we've seen on any other show. And it wasn't what we expected initially. And it's been incredible seeing how these guys and girls have made such quantum leaps together in the short time this show's been on.
We got like a couple minutes left with Matt Eisenman from American Ninja Warrior. John, say hi to Matt.
Hi, Matt. How are you? I'm sorry. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Just, I'm doing great, John.
It's kind of funny. I built my own as well. The first time I did the course, I did it in 8 seconds. The size of my course was 1/100th scale, and I broke it.
Right, because you actually moved a toe.
You know what, though, John?
I stepped on it, and I was done, but it was 8 seconds.
You know what? For the fact that you competed and completed, John, you take pride in that.
Thanks.
It doesn't matter how small yours is, John. As long as it works for you, you be proud.
I seem to hear that a lot.
Yeah, if you had a nickel for every time you heard that phrase. It's unbelievable. All right, so Matt, here's my suggestion for a middle-aged man course for American Ninja Warrior, all right? And we can do this, incorporate it into the show. During an actual commercial break for the show, a middle-aged man, not me necessarily, anyone, you have to get up from the couch and go tinkle. Now, that could take some time, depending on how things are going. You then also have to get to the refrigerator. You have to take a snack with one item from the refrigerator and one from the pantry. Whatever it is, you have to have a combo of items and a beverage. You've got to return to your favorite chair. Remember, you were on the couch where you started. You got to return to the chair with your refrigerator item, your pantry item, and your beverage. Sit in the chair with your remote in your dominant hand before they return from commercial. Huh? Tell me that's not a challenge.
For me, the difficult part is now when I go to the fridge, I can't decide. Because I'm middle-aged myself here. And for me, I would definitely get screwed up in choosing the drink to begin with. And then the snack. I don't think I could do it. Plus, I usually have to go for a second round of tinkling. Yeah. My bladder, I wake up twice a night to pee. It's embarrassing.
Focus. It's focus. It's all about focus. Matt, you're doing it. Matt, you're doing a great job with the show, and I'll just leave you with this. The other thing I love about it is, in a nation of kids who don't get active anymore, especially little kids, it fires up little kids to get outside and play, and you know, in their imagination, come up with their own course and do stuff. So you ought to be proud of that.
It's amazing. I think it's one of the few shows like is exactly what you said, Steve. It gets kids active. And we're breeding an entirely new generation of athlete, and I'm excited about it.
Listen, your breeding is none of my business. It's Matt Eisenman. You're welcome here anytime, dude. Congrats on the success.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks so much, and I appreciate the course suggestions. We're going to work those in.
Yeah, I hope you
Middle-aged ninja warrior.
Middle-aged ninja warrior. All right, stand by, everybody. We'll come back more from the Chamber of Commerce annual meeting. We are live at the Hyatt Regency. Steve Cochran, 720 WGN. Well, in our city of great people, and I've been blessed to meet just about everybody I ever wanted to meet in life. I got a chance to know James Tyree a little bit. I don't know if you guys knew James Tyree, but James Tyree ran Misro Financial for years. And Tyree was one of the most generous guys you would ever meet. Great family guy, had tremendous physical challenges that never slowed him down, and ran a great company. And as a legacy, the Tyree Award that's handed out every year at this annual get-together for this function, the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce annual meeting, we actually have the Tyree Award winner here, and she couldn't be a better winner, more delightful. So congratulations to you, Sophie Evanoff, the winner of the fifth annual Tyree Award. And I know that James is looking down and smiling because you won.
Thank you. You're such excited. An honor. I'm so excited. Still in shock.
Now, why did you think you wouldn't win?
You know, the last part of the round was a private interview.
And you thought you tanked it?
I tanked it. I went home and went straight to bed. I just needed to get it out of my system.
Right. Were you nervous?
I was so nervous, and I've never been in that position before, just in a boardroom setting. And it's funny, one-on-one, I'm good. Throw me in front of 1,000 people, I'm good. But you put me in a private room where they're all staring me down. I was so nervous.
And what type of questions do you get in that setting?
They just want to know about the story, and it was more personal questions, and I thought it was going to be more financial, so I really memorized my books getting ready for it, and I didn't get one financial question.
Well, did you know this? I don't know if you're aware of this. You are the first female winner of the award.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't
wow.
that cool?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Woo. So go women.
You're a groundbreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go women.
Tell everybody the name of your business.
It's Vinnie. We're a French patisserie. We have 3 locations in Chicago.
And where did you get your interest in this line of work and your skill for it?
I have always wanted some sort of baking business and was always the business side. So I moved here to go to the French pastry school, so I knew a thing or two in the kitchen.
Okay.
And then I acquired Vinnie about 5 years ago.
Where'd you move from?
Detroit.
Detroit, of course, the French pastry capital of America.
Correct, exactly. That's why I was so quickly to get out of there.
Where did the interest come from as a kid?
I grew up baking with my mom and watching my grandmothers, and church would always have bake sales, and my mom would let me skip school to bake with all the grandmas. And
now,
it just is amazing.
I know everything about the eating and nothing about the preparation. My assumption is, and Mary, jump in on this because you're the baking queen of the program.
Not on this level.
But making French pastries is a delicate, time-consuming, labor-intensive thing, yeah?
It is. Every product has definitely, I'd say, at least 3 to 4 components. Nothing can be made in a day. It's all a process, and it's all detail, and it's fine detail. And that's what it makes it so beautiful in the end result.
But in the end, it has to taste great and look great.
Correct.
Have you ever made something that looked great and tasted like really awful?
Never.
Not one time.
No.
Not one time. You've
doing.
Never made a mistake.
We don't put it out. Then no one knows.
Do you have to be an artist, too, and a baker as well? To sculpt this? I've seen some Belgian bakers at their. Is it similar to what, you know, Belgian bakers do and very
it's
artistic?
All, yeah, anything. French pastry, any more European, international pastries, there is a level of art. And the United States is definitely appreciative of it. I don't think they're as avant-garde, as you could say, as some of the European shops. But it's definitely, you eat with your eyes first. So it's got to look beautiful and then taste good as well, and you'll come back for more.
Is that your slogan? What a great slogan
that
is.
That is
eat
good.
With your eyes.
It's good.
Does anyone use that?
Trademark
that immediately.
Yeah, that
maybe
is good.
Using it. Yes.
That is good.
So if you talk about some of the challenges, too, in starting up this business, you said you inherited it, and just obviously getting customers. Once they get in, they're sold, I mean, because these pictures are beautiful.
Thank you. So we acquired Vinnie, and they did have a certain level of following, and it really is just being friendly with customers and giving good customer service and serving good product. And they come back and they tell their friends. I mean, it's not that hard. If you're genuine and you're friendly and you're kind, the customers follow.
But and you have regular customers, I'm sure.
We do.
But you also do occasions?
We do.
So what's the bigger challenge? The people that you have to prove your worth to again and again and again, or somebody's got a big event and you got to nail it?
The worst customer is the mom who's ordering the cake for their one-year-old. It's not the bride. It's the moms.
For the one-year-old birthday
yes,
party?
Yes, one-year-old, one to five. And in that age, when the child doesn't have a say, it's all in the mom's hands.
Sure.
And I'm sure those kids eat with their eyes as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Give me that cake.
Those kids eat with their feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen a cake. This is so cool. First of all, I've been in your place. I always thought it was vanille. But it's vanille.
Vanille patisserie.
Vanille patisserie. But I love the skyline cakes. I've never seen the Chicago skyline on a cake before.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We've done it for wedding cakes and...
So what, do you sketch these by hand before you build them?
So, yeah, we can. We have a cake designer who's an amazing artist as well. She's trained sculptor and everything. So you do sketch a cake, and you can sketch with a client, or she sketches on her own, and then they transform it with, you know, edible ingredients.
So it's a lot like Little Debbie, the same way Little Debbie does it.
Exactly, and Hostess. We can't forget Hostess.
What's the most complicated thing you've ever made?
The most complicated thing I think we do is we do a croquembouche. And
me too.
It's
those are. Those are awesome.
Yeah, bless you.
Let me tell you, I don't know what a croquembouche is.
You do. I'm going to show you a picture.
She'll pull it up. It's a traditional French-style wedding cake that's made with cream puffs, but it's put together with sugar. So you can construct it properly, but what's out of control is the weather and the humidity. And we've had them collapse, and it was nothing we did. And so you don't know
if it's
going to
rain. Oh, so
it looks
like a Christmas tree of puff pastry.
Yes. And then trying to, I still don't know how people eat them, because you got to kind of like take a hammer to it to break the sugar. But
so it's more of an artistic piece than a food item.
What's the hardest ingredient to work with? Phyllo dough?
I would say chocolate, actually. Chocolate's very temperamental. Again, the environment affects it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's your long-term goal?
Our long-term goal is to be a national brand.
I was going
to
say, do you want one of these in every city?
Maybe not every city, but I got my eye on a lot more cities.
Because to maintain the quality, you've got to make sure you can have the quality control that you put into this one,
correct.
Right?
You're very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Go women.
Yeah, no, you're very impressive. Now, you got a beautiful trophy. What else do you get for the Tyree Award?
Wow, we get an award of $50,000.
$50,000.
Yeah. I'm going shopping right after this.
Yeah. Awesome.
We're going to lunch with you, Toby.
Okay, come on.
She's not buying aprons either.
No, but you seem to be the type of person that's completely dedicated to work. Are you the 12-hour-a-day type, and when you're not doing it, you're thinking about it?
Of course. How else am I supposed to be? You know, when you're a business owner, that's how it is.
Well, I hope you love Chicago.
Because I do. Obviously, Chicago is amazing. It's
obviously
definitely my home.
And that's a beautiful trophy.
Thank you.
But the city has certainly taken to you. So, again, the plug, not that you need our help, but the plug for the business, where are you?
So we are located in Lincoln Park, Lakeview, and in Chicago French Market.
Okay, and a website?
It's vanillepatisserie.com.
What are the chances anyone can spell that correctly when they search it?
We'll pop up. We're so famous.
It's like vanilla with an E.
Right.
Vanilla with an E.
Patisserie.
It's vanilla in French.
All right. And by the way, this is just an idea. You can run with it, but I'm your friend. You know that.
I know.
I think you need a rude French waiter to come by and just give it the full Americanized feel.
I'll consider it.
Yeah,
no,
she's not going to.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're very happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And my old friend Jim, James Tyree would be very pleased that you're the winner.
Thank you.
First female winner of the award. Go women.
Go women.
Yes, woo! Women. Congrats.
Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Common sense, I think, has left the planet. And if we can't indulge ourselves in common sense. And you know my motto, if you eat, you die. Mm-hmm. And if you don't eat, you die.
Well, I got me a fire, I forgot me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Orange Samuelson joins us again. You heard him just moments ago.
And I'm back.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, thank you. While you're on the golf course, I'm going to dairy farm breakfasts on the farm. I'm going to farmers markets. And I'm not playing golf. I leave that up to Gloria.
Outside of getting up and doing this show every day.
Yes.
How, in fact, have you slowed down since last fall?
Well, I'm sleeping longer. You know, for the first time in 58 years, I'm not getting up at 2:45 in the morning. And so I get to sleep in till 7 o'clock or so.
Look at you living it up.
Yeah. Well, it lets me stay up now till 8 o'clock at night before I go to bed. You know, I could never do that before. But no, I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying doing what I do, the June Dairy Month breakfast on the farm. And you're invited, let me see, Saturday, June 18th at the Drendel Farm out at Hampshire, Illinois. We're doing a dairy breakfast.
That is good eating.
From 6 to 11 in the morning, you can watch cows being milked, you can pet calves, you can sit in a tractor cab. And yes, you get a great dairy farm breakfast. And Wisconsin, there are dozens of them going on every weekend during June Dairy Month. So it's a salute to the dairy industry and probably one of the longest running commodity promotions in the country. I think June Dairy Month started back in 1937. And Saturday, this past Saturday, when I was in Harvard for the 75th anniversary of Harvard Milk Days, because at one time, McHenry County and Lake County were packed with dairy farms that provided milk for Chicago. And then they sort of moved west into other parts of the country and up into Wisconsin. But the Harvard Milk Day started in 1942. The reason it started was dairy farmers coming together to pledge that they would produce additional milk to feed the armed forces of the United States in World War II. That's what really started.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, yeah. That's a great way to start a tradition and keep one going.
It really is, yes. The other thing that we're keeping an eye on is that trade promotion agreement that people keep finding ways to say, oh, you ought to vote against this in Congress. It involves 12 countries on the Pacific Rim that account for about 40% of the trade on the planet. And for us to be left out of that agreement would leave us, I think, at the mercy of a lot of other countries that would take advantage. The hope now is that it could pass Congress in the lame duck session after the election. And President Obama says he wants to sign it, even though Hillary Clinton, who supported it when she was Secretary of State, now says it's a bad thing, and so she's against it. So,
well, this is the thing that is also maddening about Trump, about Hillary,
yes,
about Bernie Sanders. Trade does not occur in a vacuum.
No.
The idea that we could pull the plug on Japan and China, and that China wouldn't retaliate by, putting the screws to us in other ways in
right.
regards to trade, it's insane.
It is. And if we don't have agreements, we get left out of those things. And we must never forget 95% of the world's population lives outside the right. United States.
Our ego doesn't allow us to do that very often.
Well, that's true.
Are you taking questions from the staff?
Yes.
Let me go live to John DeCoste. Do you have a question for Orion Samuelson?
Well, I do. Orion, there is nobody that I know of who has more respect for you and is in absolute awe of you, but you are losing about an inch off your pedestal every day that you don't get back to me. You want to explain that?
Get back to him about what?
Who cares?
Did you have a question?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, that was it. Well, I'll tell you what. I stopped in at the Sun City office yesterday, and the person who is in charge of the event activity was involved in a big meeting, couldn't talk to me, but
oh,
I will.
Oh, this is about our show. I got it.
Hear from her today, I'm sure.
Yeah, John and I have talked about this, and Orion's been nice enough to suggest it, but we're absolutely going to do a show at Sun City.
Yeah,
you ought to, because we have so many listeners out there. That,
yeah, it's a done deal.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a done deal.
I'll have to clear my schedule for that weekend if I'm going to be headlining.
Actually, Andrea won't be on that one.
But I will. I'll tell only Lena stories.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'll tell only Lena stories.
We're all going to open for you, Big O.
Have you heard my favorite?
No, current favorite? No, but this is perfect timing. You can close with us. What do you got?
Okay. Lena's birthday approaching. She's dropping hints of what she would like. Ole doesn't get the message, and finally, in frustration, Ole says, Lena, what do you really want? Lena says, well, I want something bright and shiny that can go from 0 to 225 in 2 seconds. So Ole bought her a bathroom scale.
Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Be good.
Dave, what do you got for us?
This hour of the Steve Cochran Show is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Bill and Wendy coming up back live at the Tower. I want to thank Marlene Wells, of course, getting it done here. Adam getting it done here. Adam did not harm anyone during the broadcast today, and he certainly had reason to. You know, thanks to everybody on staff, of course, for getting the show together again, the Chamber of Commerce people as well. Mary Vandeveld has a billboard up. Is this the one that was for the blood thing?
It's for LifeSource, promoting their Blood Donation Day, World Blood Donation Day.
And is
which
it you
is,
giving
think,
blood on
June
the billboard?
12th. I am giving blood on the billboard in my Illini T-shirt.
Is that right?
Yes, I am. At LifeSource when I was giving blood. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's over on 294 by I-94 off the ramp at the LifeSource headquarters.
By the way, if anybody takes a picture of your billboard and then sends it back to us on Twitter, follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. If you send that picture back, the first three people who do that will give you something off the prize list.
Yeah, because I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, so that'd be awesome.
Picture of the Vandeveld billboard.
And you know what's cool about it?
Cool
about the billboard? My head is larger than yours.
Oh, I doubt that. We'll have to measure.